remain standing, and we're going to sing a verse of Silent Night. We'll sing at Acapulco, okay? We'll let the musicians come down and just we'll just sing a verse of Silent Night, Holy Night. I think everybody knows that, right? Or at least first verse. Let's try it. Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sweet. Sounded good. Thank you. You can be seated. That'll be a blessing to our Primitive Baptist and Church of Christ friends. So we'll try to do that. Take your Bible, if you will, this morning, the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 13, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 13 in your Bible. And we'll take a look at a few verses here. And then I'll be honest, we're going to shift to the New Testament, all right? So if it'll help you, after you find Jeremiah chapter 13, you can, if you'll find Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8. And we're going to preach from Jeremiah chapter 13 all the way through and to Acts chapter 8. Deal with every verse along the way. All right, we're not going to do that, okay? We're not going to do that. Jeremiah chapter 13, if you would. Hope you have your Bible with us. And if you're at home watching, hey, open your Bible, all right? Amen. If you don't have it, go get it, all right? Go get it. You ought to open your Bible, follow along if you would. Jeremiah chapter 13. I want to begin reading in verse 21. Verse 21, the Bible says, "What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains, and as chief over them shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail. And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." We're going to leave off reading right there. The prophet Jeremiah, here in this book and in this chapter, is prophesying against God's people because of their sin, all right? He's warning them that sin, as it always does, brings judgment, and he's warning them that the judgment of God is coming upon them, and he said it cannot and it will not be avoided. And in the midst of that prophetic word, we find three questions. The first one you look at is in verse 21. He said, "What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee?" What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? Then in the next verse, we find the question, wherefore come these things upon me? You know, that's what a lot of people say when the Lord deals with them and has to bring some punishment is, hey, why, you know, wherefore come these things upon me? That, why would this happen to me? I'm a wonderful person, right? So why would he do that? But then we come to the question that I want us to look at this morning for and focus on. It's in verse 23, and we see this question. It says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots?" You say, what a question that is. What kind of question is that to even register, to even ask it, you know? Well, hey, listen, what's going on here is the idea involves something that's impossible, something that's impossible. Hey, a leopard can't change his spots. An Ethiopian by himself cannot change his skin. Hey, there's some things that are absolutely impossible, and this is an emphatic way of saying, if you will, that man is incapable, he's incapable of changing his own ways and his own heart. I mean, that's the problem. Here we are, man is what he is. And he says there, the last part of verse 23, he said, if you can do that, then may you also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Ever known people that, I mean, this is their custom, this is what they normally do, it's very hard for them to change. Very hard for you to change. Hey, listen, after you've lived a few years, and it doesn't take very many, you've got habits that you've got in your life, and those things are hard to change. Hard to change. And we develop them, they're there, very difficult to do it. What Jeremiah's doing is he's pointing out, if you will, the sinful ways in the sinful heart of Judah, the nation of Judah. He said, you've got a sin problem, and he said, you've turned away from God. They had determined that they were going to go their own way and do their own thing, and the Lord said, you're going to find you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time. You know, I think about a lot of the folks I've talked to over the years, tried to witness to people, and there have been a few folks over the years that have told me, hey, preacher, I think I'm just beyond help. I'm beyond help. You say, well, that verse maybe tends to indicate that's it. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Well, no. So I guess, preacher, that means some people are beyond help. Well, wait a minute. That's not the only verse in the Bible. You said, is that verse wrong? No. That verse is exactly right. It's exactly true. But it's not the only verse in the Bible. So I want to invite your attention to Acts chapter 8. And there's an Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8 we want to look at for just a little bit this morning. And there's an account here in the New Testament of an Ethiopian fellow. And there's an account. Now, he didn't make a change in his skin, but he made a change that's available to everybody. That everybody can do it. Even those people that say, preacher, I've gone too far. I just don't think there's any hope for me. Well, I just tell you, you're wrong, all right? You're wrong. So we're going to look here in Acts chapter 8. We'll read just three verses to begin with, and then we'll get into the message, and we'll read some more verses as we go along. But verse 26, if you will, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now I want you to notice a few things with me in this passage this morning, and we're going to focus on them, just four details out of the Scripture. The first thing I want you to notice is a messenger. That's found there in verse 26. His name's Philip. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Now, there's not a lot in the Bible about Philip. Just not a lot in the Bible about him. But one thing we know about Philip, Philip was a man who was an evangelist. He was concerned with doing the work of God. And the book of Acts chapter 8, we read earlier in the book, you'll see that Philip was in the midst of Samaria, the city of Samaria. He was preaching. They were having revival. I mean, people were getting saved. Lives were being changed. There's a fellow by the name of Simon, the sorcerer, and God did a mighty work in his heart in that revival. And that's what was going on, all right? Listen, somebody has to be willing to tell the story. Somebody has to be willing to tell the story. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Look, somebody's got to tell that story. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, yes, you are. If you're saved, God's commissioned you to go and preach the gospel. Now, you don't have to stand behind a pulpit. You don't have to stand behind a pulpit. As a matter of fact, most of the preaching that's done is not done behind the pulpit. But man, you're constrained by the Lord. You're compelled by Him. You're commissioned by Him to go and tell everybody, all right? Just go and everywhere you go to tell somebody, hey, the Lord needs a man that's willing to tell the story. Now you said, oh, it's a man. I'm off the hook. No, I mean that in the sense of human, all right? He needs a human being. So He didn't leave out you ladies, all right? Somebody, though, has to be willing to be the messenger. Somebody has to be willing to do it. In this case, it's Philip. Philip, like I said, in the midst of a great revival, and God said to him, Philip, I need you somewhere else. I need you somewhere else. I'll be honest with you. I think the reason that some people never do much of anything for God is they aren't listening to the call of God, and they're not willing to obey Him when He does speak to them. Don't do it. You're like me. When I was sitting in the college library, Tarrant County Junior College, over here sitting in the college library, talking with a fellow by the name of Herb Spelling. Talking with Herb Spelling, and God said to me, you need to talk to him about me. Sure as I'm standing here this morning, I'm convinced God told me to witness to Herb Spelling. You know, of all the people I went to college with, really, that I didn't know before I went to college, his is the only name I can remember. But I'm going to tell you this. I didn't witness to Herb Spelling. I didn't say a word to him. We kept talking, but I never brought him around to the most important thing. He said, Preacher, what about that? I'll tell you what about it. I believe I'm going to stand before God one of these days and give an account for that. Can I say this to you? I'm not looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to that. I don't know where Herb is today. I don't know if he's still alive. He was a Vietnam veteran. And I have no idea if he's still alive. I've never seen him since. I have no way of trying to find him. And I'll tell you, I believe this, if he goes to hell, this guy's going to have to give an account. Hey, I'm pleading with you. When God says to you, do something, do it. When God says witness, witness to him. And I'll never get past that fact that I never said a word to that fellow. Hey, I've forgotten everybody else's name I went to college with, but not his. Not his. Hey, listen. God says to us, go and speak. And we don't do it. We don't do it. Thank God there's a fellow named Philip that never argued with God. He didn't say, now, wait a minute, God, I'm having a great revival right here. No. He just said, okay. He did what he was bidden to do. By the way, can I make this real plain to you? He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know what was going to happen. God transported Philip from Samaria down to the Gaza Strip, what we know is that area there, all right? And he took him down there. He moved him. God moved him. He said, how? Taxi? No. God supernaturally moved him. I mean, Philip's in Samaria, and the next thing you know, Philip's out in the desert by the road. But he didn't argue with God about it. You see, the first thing you see, there's a messenger. There's a messenger. Second thing I want you to see, there's a man, and there's a man in need. There's a man in need. The Bible describes him, and the Bible tells us he was an Ethiopian. Ethiopian, man from Ethiopia. Hey, he was a man of authority. He was a man of authority. He wasn't a commoner. He wasn't a run-of-the-mill just peasant. He wasn't just a middle-class guy. He was a man in authority. He had a high place in the government there. The Bible says to us that he was under the queen of the Ethiopians, and he had the charge of all her treasure. All of her treasure. Think about that. Man, a great man. What we would look at today is an important person. Important person. Notice what it says about him. He came to worship. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now he's headed out, all right? So he'd come to Jerusalem to worship. He had a realization that he needed to worship. He knew that. But I want you to think about this man just a little bit more, okay? I want you to see something. There's more than need. The man needs more than just a desire to worship. I'll be honest with you. I believe God puts in the life and the heart of every human being a desire to worship. I believe that. Now, some people worship themselves. but there is a desire to worship. You go around the world and people be worshiping. If they don't have a God, they'll make a God. They have a desire to worship. Can I say this to you? That's not enough. If you say, well, preacher, I'm okay because I worship or I have a desire, that's not good enough. That Ethiopian eunuch did, but that wasn't good enough. He needed more than that. But I want you to see past that. He was doing what a lot of God's people never hardly ever do. He was reading his Bible. Here's a man reading his Bible. He's reading what he had. He's reading over in Isaiah. And as he's riding along in the chariot, you know, I used to as a kid think he's in a chariot. Now, to my mind's eye, a chariot has got a fellow standing here and the horses, and he's driving. There, to me, as a kid, there was no room in a chariot for anybody but one person. Every chariot I'd ever seen was made like that. You with me? So I'm thinking, here's this Ethiopian fellow. This is what I'm thinking as a kid. He's got the reins in one hand, his Bible in the other. And I can just imagine, boom, you know, a rough that. But he was reading his Bible. Can I say this to you? That's not enough. That's not enough. Hey, you stay with me here just a second. That means this fellow had an interest in spiritual things. That's more than it seems like some Christians do. Some professing Christians don't seem to have much interest in spiritual things. But you check it out. This fellow had an interest in spiritual things, but that wasn't enough. He was lost. He was lost. You say, what do you mean he was lost? You mean he was out in the desert and he didn't? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I don't mean he was physically lost. He didn't know where he was. I mean he was spiritually lost. You say, what is that? That means he didn't know Jesus Christ as his Savior. That means if that Ethiopian had died right then on that way, before he talked to Philip, he'd have died and went to hell. He never trusted Christ. He had never had his eyes open to the truth of the Word of God, all right? Now, he had enough knowledge to know he needed to read his Bible. He had enough knowledge to know I need to worship. But there was still an emptiness in him. There was still an emptiness in him. So we've seen the messenger, we've seen the man. Now I want you to see the message. You see the message. Look there in your Bible. He's coming back. And in verse 29, the Spirit says to Philip, go join yourself to that chariot. Now, how'd he do that? Did you ever think about it? I don't know. You know, if you do that, y'all, how many of y'all have ever passed a hitchhiker? Me too. Be honest with you, I've never picked up a hitchhiker. I've ran over two. No, I was kidding. Never did that either, but I've never picked up a hitchhiker. I've passed a lot. So I don't think he did that. Did he jump out in front of it? Wave him down? I don't know. But he got in that chariot. And he heard him reading the scripture according to verse 30. And then he asked this question, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And then it says he desired Philip that he'd come up and sit with him in the chariot. Hey, he got up in the chariot with him. Said, I need a man. He needed that messenger. He needed that messenger. Look what he read. The place of the scripture, verse 32, which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Man, that Ethiopian is reading there. And he turned and he asked Philip in verse 34, he said, of whom speaketh the prophet? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else? Now I want you to notice verse 35. So important, so important. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him positive thinking. No, it doesn't say that, does it? No. It doesn't say he preached unto him good works. Look what it says. He preached unto him Jesus. Preached unto him Jesus. Hey, would you go back to verse 5 in the same chapter? verse 5 in the same chapter. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. I want you to see what he was preaching to the Ethiopian was the same thing he was preaching to the people in Samaria. He said, I've got one message, all right? I've got one message. He said, the only message that's good for you in Samaria is the only message that's good for this Ethiopian fellow. He said, you need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, can I say this to you? That's the message that a man all across the face of this earth need to hear. They need to hear that. They may need to be fed physically, and I'm not against that. But they need the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of these missionaries you'll see on any of these posters around the walls in our church, they're in that land preaching to those people Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's the message the world needs to hear. Man needs more than just positive thinking. Man needs more than possibility thinking. He needs more than a pat on the back. He needs more than that. He needs more than how to get the best out of the life you're living right now. That's not enough for you, all right? It's not enough for you to be preached to so you can walk out of the service and feel good about yourself. It's not enough that you would leave and say, but I don't have any negative thoughts at all. Man, it's nothing but positive. Boy, what a blessing. Wait a minute, you need more than that. You need more than that. Hey, men need to hear that they're sinners. Men need to hear that. You needed to hear that. They need to hear that Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father to be the Savior of the sinful man. Hey, the world needs to hear that. We need to hear that. Jesus Christ is the only answer for the sin that stains the lives of men. That's what the world needs to hear. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. That's what you needed. And I'll tell you what, when I was a 9-year-old boy down in Fort Myers, Florida, I needed to hear that Jesus Christ died for my sin. I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. I needed somebody to tell me. I'm glad I had some Sunday school teachers that I sat in their Sunday school class and they, the best they could, taught me the Bible. And they taught me, hey, you're a sinner and Jesus Christ died for you. He'll save you if you'll take him as your Savior. I'm glad I had a preacher that would get up in the pulpit and preach Jesus Christ to me. He said he'll save your soul. I'm glad somebody did that for me. Because when I was 9 years old, I walked down the aisle on a Sunday night and trusted that Jesus Christ. And he saved my soul. Hey, folks need to hear he's the only way to heaven. The only way to heaven. Look, there's all kinds of religions today. There's even all of them are man-made. It's not real. But I mean, even here lately, they've created new ones. All right? Just created a new religion because... You know, hey, listen, there's all kinds of religion, but what man needs is not religion. He needs to hear about Jesus Christ. He needs to hear that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We need to hear that. The world needs to hear that. Hey, that Ethiopian needed to hear that. That Ethiopian needed that message. Philip preached unto him Jesus. What was in the sermon? I bet it was the virgin birth. I bet it was his sinless life, his substitutionary death, and his supernatural resurrection. That's what it was. You know what man need to hear today? Same thing. Same thing. Same thing. Boy, nothing's changed. You need to hear that. He said, preacher, I was saved a long time ago. Good. You need to be reminded how you got saved. You need to be reminded it's not because you're good. And not a thing in the world I've done, not a thing in the world you've done. I didn't deserve it, and I had to be born again. Boy, the thing scares me the most is I'm afraid there's people sitting in churches thinking I'm okay, I'm all right, because I'm religious and I'm a good person. And by the way, I'm glad you're a good person. But people are thinking, I'm okay because I've gone through some ritual. No, it's not some ritual, okay? It's you need Jesus Christ. There needs to be that time in your life where you came face to face with the realization, without Christ, I'm headed for hell. I'm headed for hell. I must take Him as my Savior. That's exactly what Philip preached to this Ethiopian. But now I want you to notice a fourth thing. I want you to notice the results that came about. Would you look down in verse 37? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hey, that Ethiopian went from never having heard of Jesus Christ and wondering, this scripture, is the prophet talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else? But now he's heard the Word of God, and there was enough preached to him that if you back up in verse 36, he asked the question, hey, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Can I say this to you? I've never heard of preaching on anything that it just suddenly, when I saw water, thought, oh, what? Why can't I be baptized? I'm telling you, some truth was preached to that Ethiopian where he realized he needed to be baptized. He needed that. So what did hinder me? And Philip said, well, I got a question. He said, what's happened? And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ, all right, is the Son of God. Can I say this to you? That Ethiopian didn't change his skin a bit. He looked exactly the same from the outside as he always had. But I'll tell you this, something had happened on the inside. Something happened on the inside. I sang that song this morning. I was there when it happened. I don't know about you, but that's when something happened on the inside of this guy. God did a work. God did a work. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? No. No. Can the leper change his spots? No. Can the fellow that's used to doing evil to all of a sudden become good? No. But God can do it. God can do it. God can change him. Oh, what a change he can bring about. What a difference he can make. I'll tell you this, I'll be honest, I love reading the stories of when people get saved. I like to hear when what we would call some great sinner gets saved. And I like to hear how God changes their life. I've heard them tell, man, how I used to be a drunk and God saved me. Sam Jones, the great Methodist preacher from days gone by, was a great attorney, a very, very famous attorney in his day, but he was a drunk. He was a drunk. One of the most exciting stories I've ever heard is J. Frank Norris preaching and telling the story of Sam Jones waking up in that drunken stupor and looking in the mirror in the bar and saying, is that all that's left of the greatest attorney at the bar of the state of Georgia? And he tells about getting saved. And tells about going home and he knocked on his door at his house. His wife had kicked him out and she opened the door and probably peeked out at him. He said, God's changed me. You're not looking at the same guy you used to look at. Hey, listen, I like to hear those stories, how about God changed what we would call the great sinner. But can I tell you this? What God did for them is the same thing He did for me as a 9-year-old boy. Did the exact same thing. I deserve the same hell that the great sinner Sam Jones deserved, but God saved me. God saved me. He'll do that. He changed that old heart. Changed that heart. He believed the truth. The Ethiopian believed the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he let it be known he believed it. And then he turned around and followed the Lord in believers' baptism. You look there in verse 38. He commanded the church, stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, I want you to notice, all right, I want you to notice the order. Belief followed by baptism. It's not the other way around. It's not the other way around. Hey, if you're baptized before you believed the truth and trusted Christ as your Savior, you didn't get baptized, you got wet. You just got wet. Hey, the order is you trust Christ. And you talk about something happened to that Ethiopian. Hey, now remember, here's a man of great authority. Here's a man in charge of all the treasure of the queen of Ethiopia, Candace. He's headed on his way home reading his Bible. He's been up to Jerusalem to worship. And now he's reading his Bible. And God sent Philip down there to get a hold of him, to preach to him. And he said, man, I don't think he was reading that day planning to be baptized. But when God does a number on you, things change. Things change. Hey, he went down and he was baptized. But can I say this? That's not the end of the story, all right? Look at verse 39. Look at verse 39. And he commanded the and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. Now, think about that. Philip, the eunuch didn't know how Philip had got there to meet him in the desert. But that's the way he got there. God put him there. He said, it's impossible. Not with my God. He can do it. And Philip preached to him. He got saved. He was baptized. And man, then the preacher was taken away. And look at the next phrase. He went on his way rejoicing. And that wasn't because the preacher was gone, okay? That wasn't what he was rejoicing about. He wasn't saying, thank God, I'm not going to have to listen to that preaching anymore. No, he went on his way rejoicing because of what God did for him. Amen. He went on his way rejoicing because of what God had done in his heart. God had moved on him and he made a change. Hey, listen to me. If you don't know what it is to rejoice because you're saved, maybe it's because you've never been saved. Maybe it's because you've never been saved. Now, I got news for you. If you can't rejoice just getting excited because you have been saved. I was saved when I was 9 years old. That's 57 years ago, if I can add right or subtract right. That's 57. That's a long time ago. That was a long time ago. A good number of years ago, all right? Wasn't 59. But it's been a while, okay? Ever how long it's been over 50, all right? Been a long time. But can I tell you this? I still get excited. I still rejoice. I still can stop and think, oh man, what a good thing it is to be saved. I can sing, he died for me on the mountain. For me, they pierced his side. For me, he opened that fountain, that crimson cleansing tide. For me, he waiteth in glory, seated upon his throne. And he promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Listen, folks, you sitting around there singing some stupid song that Alan Jackson sings, or I can't even tell you the names of the people out there because don't pay any attention to them, all right? Spears, Britney Spears, right? Or Beyonce? Whatever her name is, all right? I don't know what her name is. And honestly, care not to know. Don't care. But I'll tell you this. You'd rather sing that junk? Not me, man. I'd rather sing to you about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. What a joy it brings. That Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because something happened to him. Something happened to him. Salvation's always going to cheer your heart. Always cheer your heart. Hey, he may have been in charge of all the treasure for Candace, but he got a treasure that day that Candace knew nothing about. And she didn't control it. He didn't, you know, that treasure cannot be counted. And by the way, it doesn't have to be kept because the Lord will keep you. Oh, what a blessing. Isn't that good? What a blessing. What happened to him? Hey, it's not your skin that needs to be changed. It's your heart. It's your heart. Somebody said in our country several times, I've heard several people say it, we don't have a skin problem, we got a sin problem. And we do. That's what the problem is, it's sin. Hey, your heart needs to be changed. Your eternal destination needs to be changed. That's what is in need of change. Now, you can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. Well, I'm going to earn it. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to live right. I'm going to try my best to do what's right every time I can. And I'm just going to trust when I get to the gates of heaven, they'll weigh my good deeds over here and my bad deeds over here. Man, I'm just hoping them good deeds will outweigh it. I believe I'll be all right. Hey, you'll split hell wide open. I want to say this to you. You can get mad about it if you want to. Mother Teresa went to hell if she'd never trusted Christ. If she never trusted Christ as her personal Savior, she went to hell when she died. It is not your good deeds. It is not my good deeds. It's what the Lord does for us, okay? It's what He does. You can't earn it. There's no ritual you can follow that will bring it to you. It's just absolutely salvation. The new birth is in Christ alone. You must come to Him. Question is, have you trusted Him? Have you trusted Him today? If you put your trust in Him, if not, will you do so right now? Will you do so right now? Listen, if you're sitting at home or you're in the truck or you're in the car, if you're viewing on your TV or looking on your phone this morning through YouTube, right now, if you've never trusted Christ, would you bow your head right now and call upon Him and ask Him to save your soul? Would you do it? Don't put it off. Say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. No, you don't know about tomorrow. Right now is the time you need to do it. Christian, I want to ask you a question. Will you be the messenger? Will you be the messenger? That Ethiopian man never heard if Philip hadn't have been willing to go where God took him. You said he didn't have any choice. God put him there. Yeah. But he had a choice when he got there. Had he wanted to, he could have went around kicking the ground saying, I was back in Samaria having a great revival. Now I'm sitting out here in the middle of the desert. Why in the world? God, why'd you do this to me? Yeah. I just want to know, will you be the messenger? Will you be the messenger? Would you be willing to tell somebody? Listen, I got news for you. I do not enjoy telling you about Herb Spelling. It breaks my heart every time I think about it. And the only reason I tell it is because I don't want you to do what I did. I want you to be the messenger. Christian, who do you know that needs to be told? Who do you know? Would you tell it? My friend, you're here without Christ. You need to trust Him. You need to trust Him. Not some magic words you said maybe at one point in your life. You need to put your firm trust and full faith in Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Have you done that? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to the end of the service. Lord, so important a time for the invitation. Folks need to now make a decision. I've heard the message, but what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? Am I the one that should be the messenger because I know I'm saved and I know how to tell somebody because I know what I did to get saved? And all I got to do is tell them to do what I did, and they'll be saved too. Lord, there's some here ought to be the messenger, but they've not been. Lord, would you deal with their heart? Lord, some maybe this morning standing here that they're the man in need of salvation. They're that person today, right now, that needs to trust Christ. Lord, would you deal with it? Would you help us not to make excuse? Would you help us not to push it away and say, I'll do it later? Not to get a false assurance, but Lord, that we might realize our need today and we'd do what you'd have us to do at this invitation time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We sing this morning the invitation hymn, God dealing with you. Hey, you willing to be the messenger? Willing to do it. Hey, would you come? Maybe God's working on your heart. You need to come. As we sing the invitation hymn this morning, would you come? While we sing this verse, don't wait till the second verse. Come on, the first verse. Come on, while we sing.